Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. I'm your host, Shannon Brinius, and every month we're pleased to bring with you a very special show that focuses on some of the threats and risks that are out there because scammers are targeting people trying to get at their pocketbooks, trying to get at their bank accounts, trying to get their personal information. And so, again, it's always a pleasure to welcome to the show, Ada Rodriguez, Vice President of Development and Operations for the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado. Ada, welcome to The Extra.
Thank you, Shannon. Good morning. Thanks for having us. And we also should have Paul Myers Bennett on the phone. He's going to join me today, kind of last minute, our VP of Marketing and Events.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Ada, for introducing Paul. And Paul, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Shannon. I'm happy to be here.
Fantastic. Well, let's talk about something that I think I, among others, have been targeted with ads about. And this is an area where you would think that by looking into this, by maybe clicking on one of those ads, they are going to do something good for your pocketbook, for the environment. And I'm talking about those ads advertising solar panels, solar products, changing your house over to solar. Alexis, why don't you tell us, Paul, excuse me, why don't you tell us about that?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you what, you're exactly right. Solar is very popular. And since we are focusing on green in this issue, so many homeowners are interested in, you know, going off grid, whether they want to be green or they want to save money or they see one of those ads. No matter what the reason for installing a solar system, it's a huge purchase and something you really need to look into a number of different things before you actually push the trigger to add solar to your home. You need to look through, you know, if the roof is able to hold it, the type of property, if your HOA allows it. And the BBB recommends that you use the following tips to help you get the best deal and the on quality equipment that will save you money in the long term. So number one, consider improving your home's energy efficiency. And so according to energy.gov, it's very important to consider just how energy efficient your home is and making some upgrades before you go solar. This would include, you may want to do an audit of everything and understand how your home is losing energy and make some really simple and effective improvements. An example of this might be switching out older appliances and electronics for higher efficiency products. Heating and cooling takes a large amount of energy, so weatherizing your home by checking the seals around your windows and your doors, controlling the moisture and checking your ventilation system. An energy-efficient home will use way less energy and will impact how much solar you need to put on your home and therefore help with costs as well. The second thing to consider is the condition of your roof. So most solar systems are installed on rooftops, and they use mounting hardware, which needs to be installed on sturdy materials, something like asphalt shingles or standing seam metal, concrete tiles. But something to consider is those solar panels are supposed to last for 40 years or even more, and you want to make sure that your roof that's underneath is going to last just as long. So look at repairing or replacing your roof before the solar system goes on so that you're not going to have to come back and remove that solar system panels and get a new roof. The next one is research your energy needs. So contractors need to know how much energy you're going to require in order to give you the best recommendation on the solar energy system for your home. You're going to want to look through your electric bills, pay close attention to what sort of kilowatt hours you're going to use and what you need each month. And keep in mind that, you know, during different parts of the year, you're going to need different amounts. So during the summer, running air conditioner, you might need more than in the winter.
You know, that's an interesting point you brought up, Paul, because I would have thought, oh, you just try to put up as many solar panels as the roof can handle. But obviously, you don't want to do that because that adds to your cost. So you want to provide enough so that it's going to cover your energy bills or close to that. But you don't want to be providing too much, right?
Well, that's right, Shannon. And some people think, well, hey, I can, you know, some municipalities will buy back some of that energy, but they buy it at such a low rate that you're never going to make up that money for spending the extra on way too many solar panels. So no, just probably get what's best for you, and so go ahead and don't overdo it.
Tailor it. All right.
Tailor it. There you go. Understand alternative solar energy options. And so this is a strange one that I'd never thought of before, which is some communities don't let you put solar panels on, you know, certain parts of your home, maybe that face the street, or put them on at all or in your yard. But there are things where you can actually share in a community solar array. And so look into if there's a area around you where you can pay into kind of like a co-op from some solar. That's an interesting option that's kind of new. Select a solar power equipment system. There are three kinds of panels commonly used for solar in the industry. There's one called amphorous solar panels, and they're the most economic option, but they're less durable. And so if you're in an area with hail, and they're also less efficient. There's polycrystalline panels that are more effective, but they take up a lot more space. And then there's monocrystalline solar panels that require the least amount of space but have the highest efficiency rate. And they're the most expensive. So look into which kind are best for you, but know that there are different options out there. And finally, two more things. Find out what financing options and incentives are available. So in the U.S., check to see if there is a federal tax credit for installing a smaller solar system. There might also be local incentives available to you. So contact your utility company or a reputable solar installer and ask about incentives. And then if you don't plan to pay for your solar system outright, look into financing. And so the Clean Energy States Alliance Guide can help you with your options. In fact, a study by the Solar Energy Industry Association found that 21 million homeowners that live in the city have low-cost financing options. So look into those before you just pay out of pocket. And then my final thing on solar panels is ask for referrals and search local solar installers. So make sure to ask your friends, ask your family members who they've already used a solar and if they were happy about it. Of course, use BBB.org. That's what we're here for, is to make sure that we accredit businesses that are trustworthy, and so that you'll get what you planned on. Read customer reviews and check out a company's rating, again, at BBB.org. And as you learn more about each installer, pay close attention to the cost of the installation, the equipment they use, the quality of their work, and also how many years of experience they have in the solar system. Because it's so new, there's often a lot of new companies that kind of come and go. So get quotes from multiple installers, inquire about warranties. Usually these warranties last 10 to 12 years, but the performance should last at least 25 years, if not beyond.
Yeah, because it's investment. It's a big investment.
It's a huge investment, and you want to make sure that as it's going on your property, that it is improving it and will improve it, you know, for years to come, and be worth that investment. So the actual installation of solar panels usually takes a day or two, but keep in mind the process involves permits. So ask if the installer will take care of that. And again, before moving forward, visit BBB.org just to check out various installers and see who's right for you.
Important information there. All right, we are continuing with this environmentally friendly show where we're focusing on ways you can do your part for the globe and for our natural resources and conserving them. It's a special Earth Day edition, well, pre-Earth Day. We've got about 10 days prior to Earth Day, don't we, guys, before we mark that important day. But we're going to continue the focus on going green. Next, we'll talk about going green at the grocery store. That's when the Extra continues. Welcome back to The Extra. We are focusing on staying green, going green. And we've got the folks from the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado on with us. And we are talking about finding the value without putting yourself at risk. So Ada Rodriguez is here to talk about going green at the grocery store. Ada, what should we keep in mind?
Yeah, thank you. So going green at the grocery store
There's a couple different tips and just buzzwords that we are going to bring up just to encourage listeners to be more aware if they want to eat green, shop green, more economically friendly. excuse me. So, shopping green and eating green should be, in theory, an easy way to consume a healthier diet, as well as making choices that are better for the environment. But it can actually be complicated because there are a lot of marketing terms and a lot of packaging and a lot of language that can be kind of confusing to decipher. So some of the tips that I'll run through some of the tips that we're going to mention, but the first one is just even understanding basically what organic means. So whether a product carries a USDA organic seal or uses the word organic, or maybe they're organic ingredients, being sure to read those labels and understanding how they are considered organic and making sure that they have that organic seal. Organic is regulated, but you do need to look for specific seals, and non-GMO does not necessarily mean organic, and vice versa, and genetically modified organisms for GMO, for those of the listeners that may not be familiar with that term, but they're not interchangeable, even though many individuals may think that they are.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Get to know green marketing terms. I think that's just another one, understanding the language. So marketing terms such as pesticide-free, non-toxic, free of, and sometimes they'll list a bunch of different ingredients, biodegradable, made with renewable energy, those are often unregulated. Therefore, they can sometimes not be meaningful. They may not be honest. Sometimes those are tied to an official organic, USDA-approved organic label. In that case, you can trust those marketing terms a little bit better. But when you shop, look for specific information on packages and products that explain why they're getting this green promotion. And that's actually a recommendation by the Federal Trade Commission, just because the marketing term can be interpreted many different ways. And if it's not regulated, then just needing to do that research on that particular brand as well. I mean, I've been in the store and I've Googled a brand right in the cracker aisle of like, okay, this cracker company says that they're doing this. Let me look on their website. Let me try to understand better. So truly understanding those marketing terms and what the company's trying to achieve can take a little bit more work, but being sure that you know what you're buying and what you're buying it for is important if you truly want to move to more of a green product.
And how else can you maybe try to determine that?
Yeah, so there are some legitimate seals. So those third-party organizations, we'll list just a few. There's so many, but Forest Stewardship Council, Transfair USA, Certified Fair Trade, Rainforest Alliance. They're just a couple examples that, you know, certify that specific types of products are grown or produced in an eco-friendly manner. So, you know, meat and milk from cows, for example, who have been 100% free-range grass grazers, they should have the American grass-fed seal. That, as many know, does not mean that it's organic. It just means that they're on that free-range, right? Same thing with eggs, right? You see free-range eggs, you see organic eggs. Now there's like several different kinds of options for eggs, right? So even understanding what all of those mean, you know, free-range versus grain-fed, versus mm-hmm. organic. Mm-hmm. So looking for those seals, of course. You know, to do better for the environment, it's also highly encouraged that you minimize your intake of processed foods. So processed foods are actually much worse for the environment because of the emissions created. You also lose the nutritional quality, so it's, you know, not as good for your body anyways. So the World Wildlife Fund actually states that the more processed a food is, the greater its environmental impact. So cutting back on those processed foods where you can, and increasing your intake of fresher foods, ideally local, can help you individually become healthier, but also impact the environment in a positive way. So a few more that we have, look for environmental friendly package. Product matters. I mean, excuse me, product packaging really does make a difference. When you look at how food is packaged and you see all the plastic, it's great if you can find a product that states that the packaging is from recycled materials or sometimes plant-based or recyclable itself, biodegradable, compostable, but it should also provide information on how and why. Sometimes there's a QR code on the back or a website so that you can understand more. What does it mean when they say that their products are biodegradable or eco-friendly? So just keeping in mind that certain kinds of recyclable packaging may not even be recyclable in your area. So just because it says you can recycle this, sometimes you can feel good about buying an item that's in that plastic. But I know me personally, I've done that, and then I try to recycle it, and you have to mail it in to a specific company. So again, just being aware of that language and what that means. And just because it says it's recyclable does not necessarily mean that it's better for the environment, because it may take shipping to get it there, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Bring reusable grocery bags. I know that that's kind of a requirement.
It's the law here, yeah, now. Still tough to adjust to,
yeah.
Though.
It is, yeah. You have to get used to it. How many times have we been in the grocery store and we're like, oh, man, I left my bags in the car.
Uh-huh.
So just getting used to that, you know, they have those cute little bags that roll into a pocket or fit in your purse. But getting into the habit is definitely tough. But plastic grocery bags are really, really bad on the environment, as you can imagine. So bringing those reusable grocery bags and using them regularly makes a really big difference on the environment. Some grocery stores will allow you to recycle the plastic bags, but recycling plastic bags actually takes a lot of energy and resources itself. So if we can avoid having as many those plastic grocery bags, the better, of course.
And Ada, we do have to wrap up here. What's the last tip you have for folks?
Yeah, so the last tip real quick before we take a break is just to avoid wasting food.
Oh,
you
yes.
Know, do your best mm-hmm. to store food properly and not waste it, so that you're not impacting the environment in that regard.
Right, because if you're buying a thing of strawberries that's come all the way from Mexico, and
right.
again, with that environmental cost involved, and then they just go bad in your fridge, then you've not done anything for the environment. In fact, have it cost
right.
it.
And then you go out and buy another package the next day. So, yeah, it's good for your pocketbook and good for the environment not to waste food.
All right. We have more Going Green tips coming your way here on this edition of The Extra. Keep on listening to KRDO News Radio. We're back with The Extra and the experts from the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado, like Paul Myers Bennett, talking to us about ways that we can help the environment ahead of Earth Day, which comes up on April 22nd. And Paul Myers Bennett, let's talk about something that I think is either something people have embarked on already, they've made a purchase of an electric car, or maybe they're considering it. I mean, there are some diehards who say never, 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 but I think there are a lot of people, and I put myself in this category, we're firmly on the fence. We kind of want to do it, but there are things that are holding us back.
You bet. No, I'm right there with you on the fence. You know, a couple of years ago, you're like, what if I can't make it from here to fill in the blanks house because it's just too far? Do I trust the electric car? And they're becoming so reliable. They're less expensive. And so more and more drivers are considering buying one. And especially when gas prices are kind of all over the board. And so they're not only good for the environment, but they also often require less maintenance. So here are several factors you should consider when buying an electric vehicle. The BBB recommends the following tips. They are, consider your driving needs. So most of today's electric vehicles can drive over 200 miles on a single charge, and that's more than enough range for most people's daily commute. However, if you drive hundreds of miles a day, then the electric car is probably not a practical choice for you. You can take EVs on longer road trips, but you have to keep in mind that you have to plan out charging stops, which will, you know, generally it's at least 30 minutes while you're stopping for a charge, if not more, which is going to add some time and energy and effort to plan those on a long distance journey. The second thing we'd suggest is create a budget. With every major purchase, you should examine your budget and make sure you can afford the electric vehicle before you buy it. And so those prices start around $30,000 for an EV now, but they can go all the way up into six figures on higher end models. Factor insurance into your budget because most cars are gas powered. The insurance is typically more for EVs, which means generally consumers pay about 20% more to insure an electric car. And so just make sure that that is part of your budget. Finally, search for incentives. Just like on solar panels, there's local and federal incentives that can sometimes give you on an all-electric or even plug-in hybrid cars up to a $7,500 federal tax credit. So in addition to these cash incentives, look and just make sure that your local electric company or government doesn't have other incentives that would work for you. Have a charging plan. That charging plan means that you want to make sure that your home is ready for it, that you have the right spacing, meaning where you're going to commute to. They may have some sort of a charging at work. And then think about alternatives. Those alternatives would be, if you're on the fence, you might consider leasing a car versus paying for it outright. And this would just not lock you in for quite as long of a time. So those are the best ideas that we've got for going electric on your vehicle. It could be a good idea based on your needs.
Mm-hmm. And certainly, I mean, when you talk about this, it kind of ties into the bigger debate as to whether the U.S. and your particular region can provide enough electricity at the reasonable rate that, you know, we do now to provide for all of these electric cars. And we keep hearing that the goals of the government are increasing as far as how many of the slate of new cars that will be hitting the roads in the years to come that they want to be electric.
That's right. And so that those are all things to consider before purchasing. And again, maybe that's where you try out a lease, or you stay on the fence and we wait to see what happens.
How the technology evolves. Yeah. I'm still, yeah, you know, that what do they call it, where you're nervous, you have that anxiety about your range anxiety, I guess, about how far you can go on a charge and whether or not, because I mean, for us here in Colorado, that might take you maybe to Vail, but probably not to Vail and back or to Vail and beyond. So, I mean, becomes a problem.
Shannon, I'm with you. And with city driving, you know, the charge lasts longer because the regenerative braking. But what if you're just heading up a mountain, you know, to one of the ski towns? And cold affects batteries a little different. So do your research first and see if it's right for you.
All right. Paul Myers Bennett, thank you so much. And I know you may have to ring off, so thank you again for joining us on The Extra. But if you can stick around, do. Ada Rodriguez will be talking.
Shannon, can I mention one other thing
before
I run?
Yes.
So KRDO Network is the exclusive TV sponsor for Small Business Week this year. And this Friday, the website takeover is going to be for Small Business Week to nominate your favorite small business in five different categories. And we would love for listeners to go and say who their favorite business is in Small Business Person of the Year, Veteran Small Business Owner, Family-Owned Business, Small Business Champion, and Young Entrepreneur. But again, KRDO Network is the exclusive TV sponsor for that event in June. And so we'd love for listeners to nominate their favorite businesses this Friday on KRDO.com.
Oh, I love that. That's great. And that's a way to support the local businesses. And since it's all online, it's environmentally friendly too. So there's that.
Exactly right. Thank you.
All right. You take care. When we come back, Ada Rodriguez will talk about something that actually is near and dear to my heart. It's called green clothes shopping. How to do it. We'll talk about that coming up. We're back with The Extra, and today our focus is on doing your part for the environment, making the world a better place, sustaining our resources, the ones that we have out there. And Ada Rodriguez is joining us now from the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado. And this is how to avoid some of the pitfalls that come up in going green. And one area is certainly, I think, affecting pretty much everyone is how to be more, I don't know, mindful when we are shopping for clothing, for shoes, for, you know, the everyday items and accessories that we need to make it out the door. Ada, let's talk about green clothes shopping.
Yeah, I love that you used the word mindful, because I really feel like sometimes the anxiety and the pressure to go green can kind of be stressful, right? You feel like you're not making the right choices and there's so many options. But I really think it is just about being mindful. And it may not be that all of your, everything you buy is green or eco-friendly, but what can you do? The small steps that you can make and just being more aware are really helpful and can make a big difference. So the way you shop and care for your clothes can have a big impact on your carbon footprint. And that does include footwear, that includes headwear, that includes everything that you wear and you put on your body, right? So fast fashion is kind of a term that you may hear. And really what that is are those clothing companies that roll out clothes that are in style this month, but maybe not next month. And they're typically made really quickly with cheaper products. They're cheap to buy and they don't last. And then oftentimes consumers are tossing them in the landfill, or maybe they're donating them to Goodwill, for example, but then Goodwill is overrun by so much of these fast fashion clothes, as you might call it, that they can't even have, they don't even have the space to put them on the racks to sell. So fast fashion can be really dangerous, leads to pollution, and is very harmful for the environment. So we have just a couple of tips for listeners when you are shopping and buying clothes. Of course, you know, going back to kind of doing research and those labels, like we talked about in the grocery store, double checking those eco-friendly labels. Many companies make green claims on their packaging and advertisements, but really understanding what it is that they say they're doing and how they're doing it. So there are green guides through the FTC. They lay out guidelines for businesses that are making such claims. Certainly also as a listener, if you have concerns about a business claim or the way a business is advertising, the BBB can also research that and look into are they essentially doing what they say they're doing. But you'll see a lot of times that products will say that they're made with sustainable materials, plastic-free, eco-friendly, biodegradable, or just a couple of those buzzwords. Made with less water is a popular one now, which with our water shortage, it's great to see that, right? That it's taking less drinking water to make a pair of jeans, for example. So just, again, paying attention to those labels and doing your research or getting information at FTC or with the BBB. Giving your support to sustainable brands. This is the one that's near and dear to me. I really try to find those brands that I can trust and that I do know are doing a good job. You can also find those businesses on BBB.org through a new program called BBB for Good, where we do research and we'll verify companies that are either sustainable or creating a community impact in a positive way. So these are the businesses that have documented sustainable practices. So using high quality natural fibers or those eco-friendly practices. There's a nonprofit called Climate Neutral, which will actually certify these sustainable brands. And if you visit their website, Climate Neutral, I apologize, I don't have their website right here, but you can actually obtain various sustainable companies from their list as well. So they have various fashion companies. It would be a good place to get started, just to kind of research them and see, you know, what can I buy from here around Christmas? How can you get Christmas gifts that are coming from one of these more sustainable companies?
Great.
Of course, choosing organic and natural materials are going to be better on the environment. Organic materials are pesticide-free. So right there, that's less chemicals that are used that harm the earth and water sources. Organic cotton is also incredibly soft, I will say. So, and it doesn't shrink as much. It doesn't stain as much. So those are other benefits, right? They last longer. So you may be spending more up front, but the idea is that you will need less, right? Buying the high quality items. Natural materials are also more preferable than synthetic. Synthetic items shed microplastics, and every time you wash that item, microplastics are coming into our water sources, whether that's our rivers, our lakes, our drinking waters. So just also being very aware of those synthetic plastic clothes like polyester, nylon, spandex. They take decades to decompose, which is insane to think about that, right? So natural materials would be wool, cotton, linen, and silk, much wiser choices,
right?
As far as that goes. So two more quick tips on this is shop secondhand. Earthday.org points out the many benefits that come from buying secondhand clothing. If you're trying to convince someone to buy secondhand, shopping secondhand not only can save you some money, but really good for the environment. You're essentially buying something that may end up in the landfill. So if you can buy something from a secondhand store, especially as it relates to clothing, you're doing your part right there. There are so many secondhand stores out there that have great clothes. I think especially for kids, kids use clothes oftentimes a lot shorter than an adult because they grow so quickly. So there are some great children's consignment stores in Colorado Springs, for example, as well as just our general secondhand stores.
Right, right.
Last but not least, think about your laundry habits. So again, paying attention to your laundry soaps. It may have harmful chemicals in them that not only contaminate water sources, but also can be toxic to breathe. So some of the laundry detergents that have those strong scents tend to be more toxic if they're not the earth-friendly or natural items. You want ones that are biodegradable, that if it does get into your water source, it's not great. You don't ever want to drink laundry soap, but it's going to be less toxic than some of the other ones. It can be really bad for your health and for our environment. Using cold water to cut back on energy, of course. If it's possible, line dry your clothes instead of using a dryer, or maybe using a dryer for half the time and then hanging them up. And then, of course, doing research on new washing machines if you're in the market for that, checking BBB.org for buying green appliances, and just being aware, like you mentioned earlier, really being mindful about some of these habits that you may be able to change just to create small changes where you can as it relates to going green in so many different ways.
Yes, if you don't know about shopping secondhand, that probably is worth an entire extra in and of itself, because I'm a big fan of
right.
it. You know, yeah. I needed some college gear in a hurry, and boy, I just went to the Goodwill and found exactly what I needed to deck the whole family out for under $15. So I was happy. So
that's awesome.
Didn't have to pay for the packaging and the shipping and everything else. So.
Sometimes it's great. You feel good about it.
Yeah, it does. It does make you feel like you've done your little part for the environment. And certainly all these little parts can add up, and we can do a lot of good for our Earth. We only have one of it, so do your part. Again, thank you, Ada Rodriguez and earlier Paul Myers Bennett, for sharing with us this important information, some ideas for going green ahead of Earth Day 2023. And where possible, if you are intrigued by what we've been talking about, there are companies that are BBB accredited and adhere to the BBB standards for trust. So consult their list. Just go to BBB.org. Right, Ada?
Yes, BBB.org is a great place to start. And also you can inquire about BBB for Good, which is our list of businesses that are verified to have some sort of environmental or social impact for our community and our world. So that's another great, great resource.
And before we go, let's also mention the BBB, Southern Colorado Takeover of KRDO.com. That's coming up on Friday. And there you can shout out and give honor and tribute to your favorite local businesses in a variety of categories. And certainly there are a lot of local businesses out here that do a lot of good, whether it's for the environment, for their community, for all of the above. So do check that out. Ada, thanks so much for appearing with us here on The Extra.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You bet. Happy Wednesday to you. And to our listeners, thank you for sharing in this hour of conversation. I'm your host, Shannon Bernius. Tom Martino is up after the break. You're listening to KRDO News Radio.